We've been talking to you a little bit in the beginning of this year, in the month of January, about things that we can do or things we should do or things we ought to think about in the year 2020. It's good for us to reflect upon those things from time to time. Sometimes we reflect on past things. And not that because we may rue the things that we did in the past, but because we can learn from them and we can go on from there. This morning we're going to talk about things that are necessary in 2020 for godly exercise. One of the things the Bible says is exercise yourself unto godliness. Well, there are certain things one must do, certain things one must have in order to practice godliness. We want to look at some of those things today. I'm going to suggest several things to you. You may think of some other things that would be just as apropos as the things I'll talk about, but let me suggest to you that if we're going to practice godly exercise in 2020, we're going to have to read and study the Word of God. We're going to have to know what's necessary to do that. So we're going to have to read and study the Word of God. In 1 Peter 2 and verse 2, and I have the passages up there if you want to look at them in your Bible. In 1 Peter 2 and verse 2, the Apostle Peter said, we're to act of ourselves as if we're newborn babes. As newborn babes, desire, or one translation says, long for the spiritual milk or the pure milk of the word that you may grow thereby. So if we're going to grow spiritually, godly, in the year 2020, we're going to have to read and study the Word of God that tells us how to do that. And we should have a longing for that, because I want to grow spiritually. I want to be godly. I want to practice godliness in the year 2020. So what I'm going to do is, as if I'm a newborn babe, and newborn babes, you know, long for things. They long for their milk. And they long to hear the same story over and over, don't they? Tell it again, tell it again, tell it again. Little ones do. I need to have that same desire that I may grow thereby unto righteousness. In Psalms 1, verses 1 through 4, the psalmist is talking about the blessed man. Blessed is the man, he said, whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. Well, if he meditates day and night, David went ahead to say he'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. It'll bring forth its fruit in its season. Its leaf shall also not wither, and whatsoever the blessed man does shall prosper. Using the example of the tree. So the blessed man is the one, he's going to want to walk in godliness. And the way he does that, he meditates on the law of God day and night. In other words, he reads the law of God. And isn't that what Timothy was told in 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15? Timothy was told that very thing when the Lord was speaking to him through the pen of the Apostle Paul and said, be diligent or study to present yourself approved unto God, a workman that does not to be ashamed, so you can rightly divide the word of truth. You want to practice godliness, then you have to learn how. And the way you learn how is you study the things that are necessary, or you give diligence to those things so you can rightly divide the word of truth. In other words, you'll be able to divide those things out of that are necessary from those things that are not necessary. You make that division. This will produce godliness, this won't. And you make that decision, and you can make that decision based on the fact that you've studied the Word of God, and you give diligence to do that. But if we're going to practice godliness in 2020, we're going to have to spend some time in prayer too. We have to realize that God wants us to talk to Him, and that's how we talk to God. That's how we make petition unto God. Like Jesus said, when you pray, ask the Lord, give us this day our daily bread. Protect us from the evil one. Keep us from harm and all those kind of things. In Hebrews 4 and verse 16, the Hebrew writer said, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace. In other words, we can come before God in prayer. And we ought to want to do that because He wants to bless us with the things that He wants to give us. And He'll give us mercy. He said that we may obtain mercy and may find grace to help us in time of need. So we have a time of need. I want to be godly. So I pray to God to help me be godly. Give me the wisdom that I need to be godly, to practice godliness. In Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7, Paul said, be anxious for nothing, Why? Because you can pray and you can make supplication to God. In everything by prayer and supplication, it said, let your request be made known unto God, and the peace of God which surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. So what does he say? Be anxious for nothing, but pray and make supplications to God. Because when you do that, you'll have a peace of God that will guard your hearts and guard your mind in Christ Jesus. That's Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7. But in the next one, Colossians 2 and verse 2, Paul is very clear and very succinct when he said, continue earnestly in prayer. But he even made it stronger when he said, be vigilant in it. Don't let it pass by. So in 2020, what are the necessary things that I have to do in order for me to be godly and practice godliness or to exercise myself unto godliness? What do I have to do? Well, one of the things that will happen if I do that, I'll continue in praise unto God. I'll continue in praise unto God. If I'm practicing godliness, if I'm exercising myself to godliness, I'm going to give praise to God that I can. And I will continue in those things. Isn't that what the Hebrew writer said in Hebrews 13:5 when he said, continue offering the sacrifice of praise to God. Let us always, he said, let us always continue, he said. Continually offer that, he said. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. So what we do is we speak that with fruit of our lips. Some people say this is singing. I don't know about that. It could just be talking too. Or speaking. But the fruit of our lips, we continue in praise unto God. We can do that sometimes in just what we're doing now. Giving praise to God. Or in our prayers, we can do that. Obviously, we can do that in singing also. We can do that. In Romans 15 and verse 11, the Apostle Paul said, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Laud him, all you people. What are all people to do? Praise the Lord. So if we're going to exercise ourselves to godliness, if we're going to do that in 2020, we have to continue in praise unto God. In other words, as we continue in these things, then we're exercising ourselves unto God. We can't just start and stop. This is the time of year when people think about losing weight a lot of times. I mean, after the holidays and everybody's eating everything from Thanksgiving to the last day of December, and eating everything that they could find on their plates, they may have gained a few pounds. So what do we see on the ads on television? All these ads about how you can lose weight. And Planet Fitness and all those put on ads now. So we can join them and lift weights and run and do all that kind of stuff and we're going to lose weight. And they always have in January, those places like Planet Fitness add a lot of new members for a month or maybe two. And then a lot of those members don't pay the third month and they just quit. Well, they're not exercising anymore, so what happens? Well, if they lost any weight, it comes back. It doesn't stay gone, generally, unless they change the way they eat and the way they think. But the fact is, when we look at the testimony of God, and we talk about exercising ourselves to God, practicing godly exercise, if we do that, what we're going to do is we're going to continue in those things. We're going to continue in praise to God. We're going to laud Him. All of us are going to do that. In Revelation 19, verse 5, John was writing the words of Jesus Christ, and he's speaking as if Christ is speaking here, and a voice came from the throne saying, praise our God. You know, you can't read the New Testament without reading the word praise a lot of times. It's even in the Old Testament. Praise our God, all you His servants. In other words, every servant of God ought to praise Him. And everybody who fears Him ought to praise Him, he says, both small and great. It doesn't make any difference who you are, whether you're well known or not known. It doesn't make any difference if you're just a part of the assemblage or if you're somebody that sits on the throne. Both small and great, he says, ought to praise the Lord. Every one of them ought to think about praising God. That's what they ought to think about. And in 2020, we can exercise ourselves to God and we can practice godly exercise by always praising the Lord. Why? You say, why is that, James? Because when you praise the Lord, you're always thinking about Him, folks. You can't praise the Lord without thinking about Him. Your mind is always attuned to the things of God, and that helps you in your exercise. You're thinking about, I need to be godly. Godliness is profitable for all things. That's why I need to be godly. But that also means if we're going to practice godly exercise, we're going to sing about it. We're going to sing about it. We're going to tell other people about it. We're going to sing and teach each other. And isn't that what the Apostle Paul said in Ephesians or Hebrews 2 and verse 12? When he's writing to them, he said, I declare your name to my brethren. How do you do that, Paul? In the midst of the assembly, I do that. I declare your name. I'm telling people about who you are. Then not only that do I do that in the assembly, but he said, I will sing praise to you in the assembly. That's what I was talking about a while ago. That's where we praise. We can praise God in the assembly. We can do that in singing in the midst of the assembly. Look at Ephesians 5 verse 19. Here Paul is reminding the Ephesians to speak to one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Speak to one another. There's the teaching. Speak to one another. But how do you do that? In psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. So you're speaking to one another when you sing. If you look at the psalm book and the songs we sang today, they are expressing words. And we take those words to heart. We've been taught about those things. And actually, when we're singing in here, we're not just singing for ourselves. We're singing to teach, to admonish everyone. Of course, we're singing ourselves. Of course, we're interested in what we're singing. Of course, we're trying to instruct ourselves too. But we're not just instructing ourselves. We're singing and teaching each other. And that's what he's talking about in Ephesians 5. He said, speak to one another in these psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. And you sing and you make melody in your heart to the Lord. In Colossians 3 and verse 16, again Paul is writing, this time to the Colossians, he says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom. What do you do with it? Teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts unto the Lord. What do? You let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, but you don't just keep it to yourself. You teach and admonish one another in the singing you do, he said. That's what you do. Well, in 2020, if we're going to exercise unto godliness, practice godly exercise, I'll tell you something else we're going to do. We're not only going to practice it ourselves, but we're going to encourage others also. We want to encourage others to do the very same thing. In Hebrews 3 and verse 13, the apostle writing to the Hebrews, the Jewish Christians, said, exhort one another. How often do you do it? He said, daily, while it is called today. Exhort one another daily, or while it's called today. Do that, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. In other words, you continue to exhort each other to be faithful to the Lord. Someone who's having a hard time. Sometimes people have a hard time in life. And they talk to us about it and say, look, I know you can do better than that. I know you can get through that. What are we doing when we say that to somebody? We're encouraging them. We're exhorting them. Sometimes we do it by saying, you're not the only one. There are other people who have experienced what you're experiencing. That doesn't make it any less hard what you're experiencing, but it lets you know that you can get through that. Like the statement of Paul to the Corinthians, there's no temptation taking you but such as man can bear. Every man can bear. Every person can bear temptation. How? Why? Because God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation make also the way of escape, that you may be able to bear it or endure it. You put your arm around somebody who's suffering, whatever the suffering might be, and you put your arm around, you kind of squeeze them a little bit and tell them you love them. That's an exhorting them. I'm going to help you get through this. Sometimes in school, when you're in school, you remember there were some things you were asked to do in school, maybe some problems you had in math. I just don't know how to do this. And maybe mom or dad or maybe the teacher themselves. When you went to them for help, said, yeah, you can do this. Just think a minute. Sit back a minute. You're panicking because you think you can't do this. And just relax a minute. Have you ever said, maybe I need to leave this alone for a few hours? We all have, haven't we? and go back to it. Oh, here's the way to do it. But here's mom who sits down with us, or dad sits down with us, or maybe it's just a friend who sits down, or the girlfriend. He says, James, you can do this. Let me show you. Well, yeah, I can do this. You see, what we do is we're encouraging one another, and that's the very thing that the Bible says we ought to do. It tells us to exhort. The word exhort in the Greek can literally be translated encourage as well as exhort. And do it while you have time to do it. Because we don't want the person to become so hardened, he doesn't think he can. To be hardened, he's talking about specifically, of course, in the deceitfulness of sin. You can overcome sin through the help of Jesus Christ. In Hebrews 10, verses 24 and 25, a passage a lot of us can quote by heart, the Hebrew writer said, let us consider one another. Let's consider one another. Let's exhort one another. Let's encourage one another. What he said, let's consider one another in order to stir them up to love and good works. He went and said to say in verse 25, exhorting one another, and so much the more. Let's exhort one another. And when we do that, that helps us to do godly exercise. That's a part of godly exercise, is people helping one another. I don't know how to lift these weights. Well, let me show you how. I don't know what lane I'm supposed to run in. Well, let me show you which one you're supposed to run in. I don't know how to pass the ball that way. Well, let me show you how to handle it, the football. I don't know how to throw a curve with the baseball. Let me show you what you do, how you twist your hand when you hold it to throw that curve. Oh, yeah, I can do that now. You see, we exhort one another. We encourage one another. We tell each other that we can do that. Well, one other thing. If we're going to practice godly exercise in 2020, we have to learn something about doing good works. Doing good works. In Ephesians 2 and verse 10, we're told we are His workmanship, God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God before prepared that we should walk in them. God has prepared good works. We can do godly exercise. It's a good thing to do, but how do we do it? Well, God has prepared the way. He tells us the way. That's what I was talking about in the beginning. If we're going to practice exercise, we have to know how to do that. And God tells us how. And He also tells us we ought to help others do that, as we said a moment ago. In Galatians 6, verses 9 and 10, the Apostle Paul was writing to Galatians. It's interesting how many different peoples were told this very same thing. But here the Galatians, they're told, don't be weary in well-doing. Don't get weary about that. As we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those of the household of God. Let's tell others how they can walk godly. Let's do good to all. Let's don't be weary about telling about it. Let's don't do that. So in 2020, what should we remember to do? What should we remember to do in 2020? Well, I suggest there's something we always should remember to do. And that is exercise ourselves to godliness. That's the passage we started with. 1 Timothy 4, verses 7 and 8. Exercise yourself toward godliness, for bodily exercise is profitable for a little. We know that. That's why in January people sell all these programs to people, and they sell all these foods and all these things that'll help you. If you'll just eat this, it'll help you lose weight. If you'll just exercise, if you notice down in the little print, a lot of times it says with exercise. If we'll exercise ourselves a little bit, we know that it'll help. It'll help us. It improves our health. We understand that. You take a walk from time to time, not just sit as a couch potato and watch television all the time. That's a good way to gain weight. But get out and do something. Parents today sometimes will take the phone away from their children for just a little while and say, go outside. Because some children will just sit there in front of that television all day long with some kind of a soda pop by them and all those chips and eating them all day long. And so some parents, what they do is say, no, you're going to have to do this. I have a grandson who's about like that. He loves electronics, and he's very good at it. He's excellent. In fact, he took a test recently. He was higher than anybody with regard to IT and all of that. But he loves to sit in front of the television. He can do anything with computers and all that kind of thing. And because he likes to sit there and didn't necessarily want to get outside, his mother said, I'm going to sign you up. They live in a subdivision where they have a swimming pool. And I'm going to sign you up for swimming lessons. Oh, he didn't want to do that. And he went to the swimming class and he came home and said, Mama, I don't have to go tomorrow. And he's sitting there playing with those things like people do. There's not anything wrong with that. I'm not saying that's wrong. But he's sitting there playing with those things and he said, Mama, I don't have to go tomorrow. Because they don't make you go. She said, Son, someone makes you go. But she wanted him out of the house. And yes, you do. To get away from that so he wouldn't just sit there all the time. But she wants him to have good health. And you're not going to have good health necessarily just sitting all the time eating chips, drinking sodas and all that kind of stuff. We know that, don't we? So if we're going to practice godly exercise in 2020, we realize that the bodily exercise does do something. And we force ourselves sometimes to take a walk even when it's cold because we know we need to do that. And we know it profits a little, but it's just a little in comparison with spiritual exercise. Because Paul went ahead to say, but godliness is profitable for all things, having the promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. Think about that. Godly exercise helps you even in this life. And also will help you in the life that is to come. That's eternal life. That's why it's so important, folks. And that's something we can do in 2020, can't we? We can exercise ourselves unto godly exercise. The things that are necessary for godly exercise. And that's what we're willing to do, is do those particular things. Turn in your song book now to number 322. Observe this particular song and think about this. And we're talking about how we can teach and admonish one another with songs, psalms, hymns, spiritual songs. This song is speaking to me and it's speaking to you. Bring Christ your broken life. Yes, it may be marred by sin. Realize He'll create anew and He'll make you whole again. Talking about Christ will do this. Your empty, wasted years He will restore. And your heart, your iniquities, He'll remember no more. It's a beautiful song, folks, and it's speaking right to me and right to you. Well, how do we do that? We believe what Jesus said, and then we practice it. He said, He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. And that's what I want to do. I want to go to heaven with it. So I'm going to believe and I'm going to be baptized and I'll be saved. That's what Jesus promised. And I believe Him. That's how I bring my broken life to Him. Can I help you do that?